Good morning and welcome. It's our family service this morning. How many of you are here for the first time? It's the first time you've been through these doors. We have one at the back. Any others? Round of applause, please. Welcome. Welcome. Some of our young people will give you a welcome pack. So young people, if you get that all queued up, our family service is a time when we want the whole family to enjoy church. We get the young people getting involved in all aspects. And this morning, that's what you're seeing. So they're doing the words, they're doing the worship. Hopefully they've welcomed you with a good smile at the door. A bit later on in our service, they'll be leading us in communion as well. And I believe we have a young person that'll be sharing the word of God as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We love family, and we love to celebrate family. God loves family. You will hear me say this over and over again if you've known me for any length of time. God loves family. God loves your family, regardless of the shape and size. There's no longer anything like an average family. Families come in all shapes and sizes, and it doesn't matter the makeup of your family. God loves your family, and God wants to be the center of your family. So the theme this morning, the thought that I want you to leave this morning with, is that God wants to be the center of your family. And to have this question in your mind, what does that look like? What does that look like for your household? What does that look like for God to be at the center of your household? And I'm going to be asking you some pointed questions, so forgive me now if you do get offended with the questions that I do ask you, but I will ask, but I'll leave that till after our young person has shared. And there are a lot of parallels that we can draw from this. You know, I'm just using that as an illustration. But in a moment, I'm going to pass on to Victory. You get yourself ready, 2 minutes, and then you'll come up, who's just going to share something that the youth have been looking at. As a church, we're looking at the end times, and she's going to share a passage that Jesus was speaking about regarding the end times, and specifically regarding Christians, and I believe families, during the end time. But this, just before she comes up, I want you to think about your family, okay? I want you to think of the makeup of your family. I want you to think about your household. And I'm going to say it a couple of times. God loves your family. He loves your kids, your brothers and your sisters. He loves everyone in your family. But he wants to be the center of your home. What I want you to think about as the service goes on, what does that look like in your context? What does that look like in your context? I know that some of you were thinking, if you knew, how am I going to get that to work? It just doesn't work. But that's what we want to explore today. Okay. Are you ready? Can you give a warm round of applause for Victory?
Good morning, church. My name's Victory. This is my first time preaching, so I hope you enjoy, and I hope you connect with the word. So I'll be reading Matthew 25, verse 1 to 12. And this reads, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took their oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang, 'Here comes the bridegroom, come out to meet him!' Then all virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are running out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil, buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The 10 virgins who were ready went into the wedding banquet, and the door shut. Later, the others also came. 'Lord, Lord,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I do not know you. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus?'" This passage represents the division between the faithful and the unfaithful, the obedient and the disobedient, those who choose to follow Christ and those who choose to walk away. The oil that the foolish brides have forgotten reflects Jesus Christ's anointing and the Holy Spirit he left with us before leaving the earth. The bridesmaids who do not have this oil represent those in life who do not learn and lean to learn on their own understanding and choose to ignore the Lord's guidance. Jesus used the example of the bridesmaids to reflect the lukewarm Christians in the world and speak and warn those who do not listen to his words and do not know how to follow the commandments that he believes we should be living by. If we do not live up to the righteous standards of Jesus he expects us to, he will turn and say, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." God will turn those away who do not truly believe and truly follow his word. The foolish brides represent those who will not be ready for the second coming of Jesus. And before they knew it, the gates of heaven were shut. I ask you again, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? The bridesmaids have remembered to bring their oil, represent those who have faith in Christ, have been taught the gospel and know the commandments that they should be living by. These five bridesmaids symbolize the believers of Christ who live a righteous life and have obedience. The five bridesmaids who filled their lamps with oil represent those in life who have filled their life with God's Spirit. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? This passage shows us how consuming things of the world, living for the world, and feeding your spirit with worldly things only leaves you in a place of rejection and a lost chance to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And those who do follow Christ will live an eternity of peace. Church, I ask you again, are you ready for the coming of Jesus? Let me put this passage into context for you. This is all about opportunities. God-given opportunities. An opportunity means that there's an odd of something good happening, but the odds need our actions and our commitment. You see, often we are presented with opportunities to learn, acquire skills, build relationships, mend relationships, progress, and better our lives. We ignore such opportunities because we become too lazy, we lack faith, courage, patience, and realize the fruition of these opportunities. We get distracted by worldly things, and they take our time and our attention. As such, we miss these opportunities. Let us all be careful to not miss these opportunities. We were born sinners, but Jesus Christ's grace found us the way we were. God granted us the grace and opportunities to know Christ and to walk in his ways for our salvation. A lot of things sin include distracting us to make us fall by wayside. Worldly things and the so-called new world order pull us back from fully embracing the opportunity for complete salvation. When Jesus Christ returns, the time will be for action, not an opportunity to seek him. So let me leave you with this question. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus?
Amen. Are you ready? That was amazing. As a church, we have been looking at the second coming, and with the youth, we're talking about the three parables that Jesus shared after he explained to his disciples in Matthew 24. I really want to encourage you to read them. Read Matthew chapter 24, because it's that passage where he talks about the end of the age and all that happens. But then he gives important parables about what Christians will be like. And I will, before the end, just kind of expand a little bit on family and what that looks like for us as family. Amen. This one has oil in it. So this is the real lantern, okay? I was going to light it, but I won't light it now. So well done. If you go over there, you'll get a little prize for volunteering. You can go over there. Yeah, the wick disappeared into that one. In a minute, Sophia's going to come up, and she's going to share just a thought. Because you can see that there's a theme in terms of lanterns. And as we're talking about families, and like I said, I want you to just have this thought about your family, okay? And God being at the center of your family. A lot of times, we can look like a normal family. And I asked that question, didn't we? Are you a normal family? Are you an odd family? Are you a special family? And when Jesus told that parable about the 10 bridesmaids, they all looked normal. They all smelt normal. They all acted normal. But just like the Incredibles, we know that in families, there's always a little bit of dysfunction. And as normal as your family might be, there always is a little bit, just a little bit of dysfunction in every family. Maybe I'm the dysfunction in mine, but... And what Jesus... You're not supposed to agree with me. What makes the difference, like Asha said, the oil. This one has oil. And the purpose, as we know, what's the purpose of the oil in the lamp? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Light. Light. So, question again. God at the center of your home, that light. I want to ask you three questions. So, Sophia's going to come up, but I'm going to ask you the three questions, and I want you to think about those three questions. Because after Sophia, we're going to have communion, we'll give some announcements, and we're going to pray for families. But our prayer is going to be based on this. How do you put God at the center of your family? How do you ensure that your family is not just a lantern, but actually has no oil? But Sophia, if you come and just share, and then I'll pick up after you share. Round of applause, please.
Hello, church. I'm Sophia. I got baptized last year, and I'm a year 7 at FBA. Today, I'll be reading Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What Matthew 5:14-16 taught me was when God gives you the power to interpret his word, to understand it, and to give you knowledge to know about it, one person just kept it to themselves. They kept it to themselves and nobody else found out about it because they may have thought people would embarrass them or they would be too embarrassed to talk about it to their friends. Little do their friends know, do not judge or you too will be judged. That's from Matthew 7:1. But when a person spreads it to the rest of the people, they influence them. They didn't just keep it to themselves. They spread their light to other people, and the other people were spreading their light to others as well, creating a loop. You need to use your spiritual talents that God gave you too. Then what God means by house in the scripture is the people around you, your classmates, your teachers, your coaches, your sports friend, best friends, your neighbors, your church friends, your family, everyone. Coincidentally, people at my school on Monday were given Bibles in an assembly. Some people were reading it, even for the first time. Some people were even considering converting. One of my friends said they want to come closer to God after living their whole life as an atheist, as a person who didn't think about God, know or fear of God. Another said they want to switch religions, and my mates used their light, their talent, to tell them more and lead them into a blessed path in the future, helping them know more, to open their eyes to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The way I let my light shine is I tell my friends about things I know, things I've learned, and things I want to tell them. If they have a question, I'm always open to answer their question. Sometimes they ask why I can't do, say, and watch the same things they do. I tell them how I'm a Christian and how I've chosen to live a committed life to God. There has been a recent decision in my life about a netball tournament, Thurrock League, a huge impact to a netballer's life in the summer. It's on Sundays, but at the same time as church, but I've chosen to go to church instead of going to that league. No regrets. Thank you for listening.
Amen. That was amazing. That was amazing. And it just, it just makes me so proud. I know that parents, you guys are proud of your kids, but it makes me so proud. It's not a small thing for a young person to say they can be part of a netball tournament, but they choose to come to church. That's not a small thing. That's not a small witness. That's a big witness. When it talks about letting your light shine, like Sophia said, yes, it's about school. Yes, it's about being out there, but also it's about in your home as well. And it's such an amazing testimony to say, actually, I'm going to make this choice. It's such an amazing testimony to have young people that are able to say, when my friends ask me about why we're giving out Bibles, I'm able to tell them. It's amazing for a young person to say, I understand God's word and he's given me that light. So stop judging because I have an understanding that you don't. That was an amazing testimony. It is an amazing testimony. And that is my heart. That is my heart. And if you just give me 5 minutes just to share my heart, because I love your young people, I really do. And I wish I could spend more time with them, but I can't. Excuse me. So much happens at school. They're so busy. They have a busier schedule than you have as parents. Do you know what I mean? And it's so easy. It's so easy for the last place that they encounter God to be the home. It is so easy. And I've been challenging myself in my home about that, asking myself these three questions that I'm going to ask you. And it's not to put you on the spot, but it's just for us as family to think. To think of our family, the makeup of our family, and what does it mean to have God at the center? You know? Because we want young people who know what God has given them, who they are in Christ, the decisions they're making. So, just really quickly, 10 bridesmaids. It's a very simple story. Please read it. Victory has done an amazing job in asking that question. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? Because that is the context. The context of that is Jesus saying, at the end time, there will be people that look the part but are not the part. That's really what it's talking about. There'll be people like the Incredibles where internally there's pandemonium, but as soon as there's a knock on the door, perfect family. We know that that's not true. But I want to tell you just very quickly that in your homes, God has given you superpowers. I say this to the kids all the time, they think I'm crazy, but it's true. In your household, all of you that are here today, if you believe in Jesus Christ, God has given you a superpower. It's a supernatural gift that is in your house. Healing, miracles, prophecy, words of wisdom, leadership, apostolic giftings, evangelistic giftings, pastoral. There are so many gifts of hospitality. There are in your home. So when God looks around, in fact, just look at the people around you. The people sitting next to you have a supernatural gift because the Bible says that everyone has one. Everyone. The question is, is your household, is your home a place where these spiritual gifts are nurtured and exercised? See, some of you are looking at me odd going, whoa, that's way out there. I never even thought about it. Like I didn't even put those two things together. So I might have to step it back a little bit. All right, let me step it back, right? Because for that to be true, your home has to be a place where the Holy Spirit is free to move and free to speak. And free to direct, and free to manifest the gifts and the fruits. Again, some parents are looking at me going, all right, let me step it back one more, because that might be a little bit of a stretch. So a simpler question would be, is your household a home where the family spends time with God? Because you don't get to step three unless you go past step two, and you won't go past step two unless you first hit step one, right? And that's the question that the Lord asked me. That's in my time, calling out and crying out, interceding. This is what the Lord put in my heart about my home for the sake of my kids. You see, because for me, I don't want to brag, we don't boast in the Lord, but I have oil. See, the thing about the bridesmaids was that they met up during the day, so there's lots of light. It's daylight, right? No one needs a lamp during the daytime. They didn't anticipate that it was going to get dark. They didn't anticipate that there would be a midnight hour. I don't know if you've had a family for any length of time, you know that there's lots of time of rejoicing when you got married, your first child, your first house, first job, pay rise, birthdays, Christmas, holidays, lots of times for rejoicing. But we also know that midnight hours come. We all, none of us are exempt from that. We all know that there are times that come that challenge and stretch us as family. We know that our children go through times at school with friends that stretch them. We know our brothers and sisters go through those midnight hours. You see, some of these bridesmaids did not have any oil because they just anticipated it was just going to be daytime all the time. But when the midnight hour came, they had no light to see. So they had no understanding of what to do. They didn't have the illumination. They didn't know how to walk. Your light, your word is a light unto my path. They couldn't find their way to the bridegroom. The ones that had the light knew what to do, and they could find their way to Jesus. But they found their way to Jesus because they could see, they could recognize him, and they all entered into a place of intimacy. They went into the house because that's where the wedding was taking place within that context, in the house. So they went into a house and had intimacy with Jesus because they had light to see. And the other thing that the Lord said to me was, Mike, I need to do what I need to do to make sure that my kids have oil. Because there's stuff that they're going to go through that I just can't be there for them. There are things that they're going to go through that the words that I have imparted to them through the years, I hope it will take them through. But I need to know that they know how to find oil. I need to know that my kids are in a home where it's encouraged to find your own oil. I need to know those things. But there's a challenge. And I'll wrap up with this, and then we'll come to a time of communion. The challenge, I know that not all families are the same. So I know that in your families, you might not all have members of your family that are Christian. I appreciate that. I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to take that for granted that everyone is speaking the same spiritual language. Okay, so yes, that's a challenge. Competing demands. My kids are busier than me. Do you know what I mean? Their schedules and between all the clubs that they go to and all the stuff and my activities, just finding the time to sit together as a family can be challenging. And let's face it, you're tired. Let's just face it. You get home from work, it's enough that you've cooked and cleaned, and the kids are all sat there, and you've done the washing and the clothes and everything for tomorrow, and it's you're tired. And any little space, you just want to sleep, right? I get it. And then there's the whole issue of leadership within the home. Who's going to call you guys together? Who's the one going to call you to order? If you take that initiative, is your spouse actually going to agree with that? So there is that issue that, again, we have to be aware of. And, of course, the spiritual maturity. And there's a whole big thing there. Because a lot of times what stops us coming before God as family is our own spiritual immaturity. Is because our spouse knows that we've been naughty, and so trying to now go and get the spouse to come, let's pray together, they'll be like, okay. So that's stuff that needs to be sorted. But, and I promise I'll finish with this, there are solutions, and I really want to encourage you to think about how you bring God into the center of your family. Regardless of the makeup of your family, how do you bring God into the center of it? There are challenges, yes. It's not something that a lot of families do, yes. A lot of families don't actually sit together, don't actually eat together. But God loves your family, and he wants to be the center of your family. He wants you to have oil. He wants your kids to have oil, their own oil. See, the bridesmaids came and said, give us some of your oil. See, once you've put oil in the lamp, and the lamp is lit, if you try to pour out the oil, the lamp will blow up because it will combust. So you can't actually begin to start pouring the oil for somebody else. We have to try and make our homes places where the Holy Spirit is free to move. All right. Make time with who you can. Make time with who you can. Whatever time whoever has free, you guys get together. Make time with who you can. Create the space. And young people, I'm talking to you guys because you've heard me say this over and over and over again. Create a sacred space and protect that space. If you need to chuck your phone out the window, chuck your phone out the window to create that space. Talk to each other. And I'm not talking about Bible. How are you doing? How was work? You seemed upset yesterday. Well, as a parent, one of the things that mortifies me is the thought that my children don't feel comfortable or might not feel comfortable talking to me about certain things. And I'm sure all of us share that experience as parents, those of us who are parents. And it's challenging me. How do I make my home a place? How do I make me a place where that environment is such that we can just talk? Not Bible now, I'm just talking, just talk. Because God wants to be in your house. You got to put the Bible in there. Our young people need to know how to find their oil. They need to know that they have oil. Pray together. Pray together. Pray together. Pray together. Pray for each other. Kids, pray for your parents. I'm serious. Pray for your parents. Pray for their love for you. Thank God for what they do for you. Pray for an increased presence of the Holy Spirit upon your parents. Pray for their jobs. Pray for their finances. You guys need to be praying for your parents as much as your parents are praying for you, because God wants to be at the center of your house. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. I'm going to ask Eliza if you come. Servers, if you guys come up. We're going to have communion, like I said, then we'll do the announcements and then we'll end our service. But guys, and we'll take the offering. But as they're coming, as we have a little bit of setup, I want you to begin thinking about your Monday to Monday. Think about your Monday to Monday, okay? What happens on Monday? What happens in your home on Tuesday? What happens in your home on a Wednesday? When can you guys actually come together as family? Because God loves your family and God wants to be at the center of your family.